that's the work of God. We don't initiate this process. We are responders to what God has initiated in the past. And John 1:13, it says, who were born, the children of God he's speaking of, not of blood, so it wasn't DNA, nor of the will of flesh, so it wasn't the desire of your parents, nor is the will of man, or your decision as a human being. It says, but of God. You were made to be born again by the will of God, by the desire of God. That's right. He not only calls us to be born again, but point B, under hope is grounded in the past, he gave us a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This living hope, beloved, is eternal life. Hope means a confident expectation in the person and promises of God. He raised the Father Jesus from the dead, in so doing, he raised us up with him. We are seated in heavenly places right now with Christ. That's our position. We're practically here, but we're actually there with him. Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, that's where your actuality lies, and your position with Christ. So everything that Christ has accomplished, those accomplishments are deferred to you because of your relationship to him. If we're going to live out our faith in the present, we must look to the past. Consider your old life before you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We should look back, as the song said, take me back to the place where I first believed. Take me back. I want to go back. significant it is for Christians to reflect on God's goodness toward us when he wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, now I see. Reflect on your salvation in your sufferings and in the storms of life so that you will never forget how amazing God's grace is. Because the grace that saves you in the past sustains you presently. It empowers you daily. It enables you in every circumstance to have your eternal lenses on. So the worst thing that I can experience in life as a Christian is only here. Thank God. It doesn't follow me beyond the grave. That's amazing. So never forget God's amazing grace in your life when life seems to be overwhelming. This is our path to living out our hope. Listen. Justified man and woman of faith. He's giving you the promises in the scriptures. You guys take time to read them and stand upon them when life seems to be shaking you to the left and to the right. Rest in what God will do. Well, he says that here in 2a here. Here's the word, if you take your notes, he secures our future inheritance. In 1 Peter 1:4, he says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Peter reminds those who are facing pain and problems and predicaments of their future inheritance. While the church in Asia was focusing on their present problem and pain and pressure, under Roman persecution and false prophets coming within the church, persecuting them. He says, take your eyes off of the immediate and focus on the future. And allow your future to drive your present. Instead of your present situation driving your future. You hear what I'm saying?
because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he knows the future. And life is worth the living, even in the pressure. Just because he lives. Because he lives, I can live. Even under the weight of the pressures of life. That's a beautiful reality. The reason our inheritance is so sure, is so certain, is explained when Peter says, it is kept, guarded in heaven for you. Living out your hope from this eternal perspective on earthly trials, this is what it does. It builds a resilient faith. What's a resilient faith? It's a bounce back faith, right? You remember that toy heavy at the bottom, light at the top? What is it called? But if you hit it, it falls back, but it bounces back up. This is what resilient faith does when you put hope in your eternal, when you look at your life from an eternal perspective. That hope weighs you down, that when the pressure hits you, bounces back up. That's a resilient faith. Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 15 at the end, he says, now abides faith, hope, and love. Grace of these is love. But there's faith and hope there, right? It is that hope that's like an anchor. But that hope is rooted in a faith, right? And that hope is rooted in this, our faith is rooted in this hope, which is the weight in our life that helps us to get buffered back and forth by the issues and circumstances of life, but it never knocks us down. We have the ability to bounce back up because we have our eyes on our eternal hope, not our present dilemma. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17 says it this way. When you and I compare our present problems with our future hope, we can experience this, an attitude of joy, full of hope, instead of hopelessness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, so we do not lose heart. They were on the pressure. They were being beat, jailed, attacked. They were had sleepless nights. They were hungry. They were suffering for the cause of the gospel. And Paul said, we do not lose heart. That's bold talking. But that's faith. That's faith talking. He said, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. There's nothing that you go through that you can compare with the glory, the weight of glory God is going to place upon your life in that future. So he secures us, our future inheritance. Secondly, verse 5, he sustains us for future glory. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time or the last days. Paul further defines this glory through the following phrases in Romans 8. In Romans 8, 18, this is how he defines this glory. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Then he says, 19, for the creation waits with eager longing. That's hope. For what? The revealing of the sons of God. In verse 21 of Romans 8, he says, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain, here it is, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Then he says in verse 23, he says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have right now the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we make a difference. Beloved, in your future hope, that's going to be glory. That agony is going to turn to glory. You're going to really see how it benefited you, how it worked for your good in God's glory, how it built your faith, how it propelled you to spiritual growth and maturation. You understand it better. See, the sufferings we endure in this life now are not worth comparing to the future. turn it up. It's party time.
But our pain don't make us that excited.
When we suffer through our sufferings, beloved, we don't think it's a party.
God does.
God does. He says, in this greatly rejoice.
Let me stay here.
Your attitude is what he's responding to, not your emotions. It's that attitude of gratitude that you should have no matter what your condition in life is, that you should rejoice in God who is sovereign, God who is providential, and God who is always present with you.
He knows your pain better than you know it.
Because he suffered in ways we will never suffer. So he knows suffering. The God man Jesus. You can't walk in his shoes, but he walked in yours. He suffered the accumulation of all the sins of all the world for his people. That through his shed blood, he may redeem us back to God in a face-to-face relationship. So Peter says to us, endure patiently. Why, Peter? Peter tells them. He says, verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, it is tested by fire, that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's rich. So as I live for Christ in this world, and as I suffer for the cause of Christ, all that suffering pays off in the end. When he shows up, all that I've gone through is going to result in praise and glory and honor at his revelation. Though you have not seen him, I haven't seen him. Have you? You love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hope is sustained in the present because you endure patiently. Romans 5:3-4, he tells us, not only that, beloved, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. See what it does? That's what it does for us. It builds us up. You go into a weight room and you put that weight on you and you start to press that weight. It starts to tear your muscles. And the more you press, the more it tears. The more you press, the more it tears. But something else is happening. Those torn muscles, guess what they do? They start to rejuvenate and build up. And now you've got biceps, triceps. Now you're strong. How do you get that strong? I had to push the pressure that I was under. Well, how do you think you want to get strong? You have to push the pressure so that you can get strong in your faith. Paul says that suffering, that pressure, that problem, that pain that you're experiencing, that's producing something. It's producing endurance. And endurance is producing character. And character is producing hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I hope you hear me this morning. When a believer comes through a trial, still trusting in the Lord, they are assured that their faith is real. Their faith is strong. When you are going through something hard and wonder, where's God? Remember, I want you to listen to this. The teacher is always quiet during the test. Come on up. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been in a classroom? And she laid that test at your little desk, and she went back and sat down and started reading another book, and didn't say a mumbling word. And you were kind of like, should I ask the teacher about this test question? You can't do it. Quiet. Look at your paper. Don't look to your right or to your left. Look straight ahead. You're taking a test.
The teacher is always quiet during the test. In your testing moments, you didn't hear God. Why? Because he got you in the test room. Are you trusting him? Are you leaning and depending on him? Is what you sing about, is what you live? Is what you read, is that what you live?
Beloved, if you're going to be a true disciple, it's not information, it's application.
said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't say, curse me, God. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, the scripture said, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. A.W. Tozer states, God never uses anyone greatly unless he tests them deeply. You want to be used by God? Sit down, get your pencil, get ready to take the test. So, hope is sustained in the present. How? Enduring patiently, knowing that God is at work in you and through you in that situation. B, finally, prepare your minds for action. That's verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. 1 Peter 1:13, A clause. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. And be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You've got to live in light of His coming. The NIV says, therefore, with minds,